Morning, everyone. Okay, so this is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses, where are we? I don't know what verses, 4 to 12. So, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be holy, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to you who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of wrongdoing, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Caroline. I forgot to say that we weren't going to have the words up. And I actually meant to say, if you want to just listen with your eyes closed, but it was a bit late to say that. Now I realise it's partly because the words that we have up often aren't the same as the words that we've got that are being read. So we want to encourage people to bring their own Bibles and also just to really listen to the word of God as well. So anyway, Marilyn's going to preach. So let's just pray for Marilyn. Do you want to hold out a hand and we'll pray? So Father God, we really thank you that you choose to use us and that you have given Marilyn this task. And I thank you for the joy that she has had in preparing it and pray that you will speak to us through her. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Can I move that down a bit?
Good morning, everyone. Okay, the subject that I've been given to talk about is the church as a strong worshipping community where everyone is welcome. So I just thought I'd begin by looking at what is the church. So if you look around where you're sat, at all the lovely people here, there's lots of lovely people here today. Some people you see will be your favourite people and some may not be. Some people you see may be people you get on really well with and others not so much. Some people you may know really well and some not at all. There may be people of all different shapes and sizes that you see, people young and old, and all those that you see, including yourself, we are the church. And down the road that way and up the road that way, there's more of the same. And all across the country, there's more of the same. And throughout the world, there's lots and lots more of the same. We all speak in different languages. And we are all the church. So the church is a gathering of God's people. It's not this building, lovely as it is. And when the Bible speaks about the church, it's referring to the people, to us, not the building. And the church, looking in the Bible, the church is God's idea. Mark chapter 3, verse 14 says, "He appointed 12 whom he named apostles to be with him and to be sent out." And there is a pattern in the Gospels of the disciples coming around Jesus, spending time in his presence, learning from him, and then being sent out, like we do on a Sunday. So we come together in the presence of Jesus here. We sing songs of worship, we learn from and listen to his spoken word, and then we are sent out into our week. Because the church is God's plan, it is a place where we grow spiritually. It's a place where we can learn, a place where we can receive love and acceptance, and we can give love and acceptance. It's a place where we can be encouraged and encourage others. It's a place where we can make mistakes, where we can be ourselves, where we can step out in faith and encourage others to do the same. Church is a place where miracles happen, and it is where they want God's best for you. And it sounds just about perfect, doesn't it? Except it's not, because I'm here and you're here and none of us are. And so, you know, we make mistakes, and sometimes we offend one another and we hurt one another occasionally, and sometimes we just get it wrong. But we are still the church, imperfect as we are. Why God ever chose us to take the message of his son to the world, I don't know. But he did, and I guess he knows we can do it, and we're worth the risk. So, what is the church here for? Because surely it's not for us to just rock up on a Sunday, have a sing-song, have a cup of tea, and go home, is it? It's not that. The task of the church is world-changing. It affects eternity for all who listen to the message of the church. The church is here to tell ordinary men, women, and children that Jesus is the saviour of the world. Matthew 28, verse 19 says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So we are here for a purpose, all of us. We have a God-given purpose. And our strapline for Trinity is living for Jesus in our community. And it's on the news sheet, and it's on the notices, and it's on the website, if you've looked at the website. And that's what we're here for. And by being the church he called us to be, we will live for Jesus in the community. So how will that look then? Isaiah 61 says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair." So as a church, if we're believers, we are people anointed by the Sovereign Lord. That's the truth of it, whether we feel like it or not. There is an anointing on us to do this thing. And so we can preach the good news to the poor. And the poor is not somebody who doesn't have a fiver in their pocket. It's somebody who doesn't know Jesus and doesn't realise their need of him. And I think sometimes we can feel, well, I can't preach the good news to the poor because I don't have all the clever and right words to say. But we don't need to have clever words to say. We just need to speak the truth. And the Holy Spirit does this amazing thing that he does. And he reveals Jesus to people in a way that we never, ever can. And it says we are sent to bind up the brokenhearted. There are lots of brokenhearted people around. And as a church, we need to show love and compassion and pray for those people and walk through life with them. And sometimes just sit and listen, because sometimes that's what people need. It says we are to proclaim freedom for the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners. There are many people in this world who are captives and living as prisoners in the darkness. And we are the people who have the light of the world in us. And it is so time for our light to shine. And we shine our light by speaking the truth, by not being afraid, by meeting people where they're at, by walking into the darkness and taking those people by the hand and walking them back out again in Jesus' name and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what Jesus did for us. He is the light of the world, and he came to a world that was cloaked in darkness, and he took us by the hand, each one of us, if we know him, and he walked us out of the darkness and set us free. The scripture says we are to comfort those who mourn and provide for those who grieve. We need to show love as a church to one another, to the community, and show love and more love and more love, because the unconditional love of the Father, that's what draws people to Jesus. So what about you and me, us individually? 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light." So this scripture starts with, "but you." And that means, but you are a chosen people. And that means every single person here. It doesn't mean that God chooses a whole bunch of people and thinks, that's it, that lot, they can do the job. This is like a hand-picked thing. This is individual, chosen by a God who knows your story. John 15, verse 6 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last." And it is important for us to know our value, that we are chosen, because sometimes we don't feel particularly chosen, do we? When we read through the Bible, and I've had a look, it is quite clear that God says, "I know all about you. I know all about your life. I know all the times that you failed. I know all the mistakes you've made. I know all the victories you've enjoyed. I know the things that you like and that you don't like. I know the things that you find easy and the things you don't. I know the battles that you face because I've been right there beside you. And I know all of those things, and I still choose you." We are chosen by the God Most High to be the body of Christ, to be the church. That's not always going to be easy. Anyone who thinks being a Christian is easy, give it a go. It's amazing, actually, as well. Jesus reminds his disciples often that following him will not be easy. Matthew 16, verse 24 and 25 says, "If anyone wants to be my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who love their life for my sake will find it." We can sometimes try and put the gospel across as an easy bit of an easy life, and that is not so. Jesus is quite clear that if we want to be his followers, we are to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and follow him. And that requires obedience, which is not easy. And it requires sacrifice, which is not easy. And it's not about us. It's not about our kingdom come. It's for his kingdom come, his will be done. And being part of the church, we serve others. It takes time. There is a sacrifice. And there may be no applause. And we may not get a little halo shining above our head. But there is a call and a commitment from us as a church and individually to serve for the glory of one, for the audience of one, and for the fruit of one kingdom, his kingdom. And that is what we're here for. Thank you. 1 Peter 2, verse 6. We're looking at, why is the church so important in today's world? Well, this scripture says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." And this same scripture is in Isaiah 28, verse 16, and that says, "So this is what the Sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, for a sure foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed." God has laid a stone in Zion, and the stone that God has laid in Zion is the Son of God. The stone that God laid in Zion was the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And this scripture says that that stone that was laid was a precious cornerstone. I didn't really know what a cornerstone was, so I've had to find out. But a cornerstone is the first stone that is laid in a building, and it anchors the whole structure. So it determines the quality and the standard of the building. Our Lord Jesus is a cornerstone like no other. He holds the whole thing together. That is the church. This scripture says that it was a tested stone, that it can be trusted. Jesus was tested unto death. He set his face like flint. He went to the cross and he didn't hold anything back for us. He can be trusted because he is faithful and true. This scripture says that the stone that was laid in Zion was a sure foundation. The stone that God laid in Zion was the foundation stone of the church. The church is built upon our Lord Jesus Christ. The stone that was laid in Zion is unlike any stone that has ever been laid or will ever be laid. And this building, the church, has a foundation that is absolutely unshakable, immovable. And the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And the world needs to see the church be all that God intended it to be. The role of the church in the world today is absolutely vital. The church gets a bit of bad press, doesn't it, sometimes? And some of it deserved, some not, maybe. And I think people generally vary from thinking that the church is boring and irrelevant to thinking we're a bunch of hypocrites or do-gooders, I think. So we do have a job on our hands, don't we? There is a quote by C.S. Lewis which says, "In a fearful world, we need a fearless church." And we so live in a fearful world right now. There are so many options for people, so many different faiths, so many different supposed ways to God, and so many people who are willing to stand up and speak about their God and say that their God is the true God. We are the church. Together and individually, we have a voice, and there has never been a more desperate time for that voice to be heard than now. The world needs to know that God laid a stone in Zion and that there is a Saviour and he is the Lord of all, that he is the way, the truth and the life and that no one comes to the Father except through him. The world needs to know that and we're here to tell them. So what is our part in this? There are lots of different people here today. Some people I know and some people I don't, but all different range of people, and some people will be visitors. And some people will be not Christians and don't really know what we're talking about. And you're really welcome, by the way. And some people will be committed Christians, following God, serving the church. And some will be brand new to the faith. And some people will be thinking, I've been a Christian for a long time. I've been there. I've done that. Someone else can do it. Some people may be thinking, I've been hurt by church. I'm here, but that's it. I'm not committing to anything. And some people may just come on a Sunday, have a sing-song and go home and enjoy the company. All different people. There is a place for you here, every single person. We all have gifts and talents that can be used in the body of Christ. Lots of different gifts, lots of different creative ways of showing God's love to people. And if you speak to anyone who's a Christian, you will find that everyone has a different story because God reaches people in so many different ways and we can all be a part of that. There will be a God-given desire in you somehow to serve Jesus. There will be. Think about what it is. And if you don't know what it is, ask God because he will show you. He's not going to hide it from you. I just want to say a few things about some of the people that I mentioned there. If you have been a Christian for a long time and you feel, I've been there and done that, I just want to say people who've walked a long journey with Jesus have so much to give to the church. So even if you've been there and done that, please do that again. For people who have been hurt by church and feel, I'm here, that's my commitment. I'm not doing anything else. I completely get it. But actually, that's not the right thing to do because God has a place for you here. And if you don't serve in the body of Christ, the devil wins, actually, because we lose out. And I just want to say, I know that it's not easy, but trust again. And that takes determination and it's a step-by-step thing. But talk to someone, ask someone to pray for you, but trust. And lastly, 1 Peter 2, verse 4 says, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house." This begins with, "As you come to him, the living stone." That's the basis of it all. If we don't do that, we're going to fall flat. We're not going to be a great church. No amount of strength and determination and courage will come from us on our own. Jesus is the living stone, and he is the source of everything that we need to live this life. There are no shortcuts in that. To be the church, to have love and grace, to live boldly, to speak the gospel, it doesn't come from us, and it won't come from us. It'll only ever come from him, because it's his church and it's for his glory. When we come to him, we receive power from on high. He breathed the Holy Spirit into us. To be the church and to live for Jesus in our community, it begins and ends with coming to the living stone. That is the most important part of our journey individually and as a church. And so I just want to finish with that, but just say, we need the Holy Spirit. We can't do it without the Holy Spirit. And if you haven't had a touch from the Holy Spirit lately, go and ask someone to pray for you, because when we see him for who he is, it changes everything. I'll just pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your church. Thank you, Lord, that we belong to you and we are chosen by you. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to be the church that you called us to be. Just thank you, Lord, for each person here, and that there are so many people who are here who are gifted and talented and chosen by you. And I pray, Lord, help each of us to find our place, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.